You're listening to From the Bottom to the Top, the show about how to bring your business to the top in sales, productivity, and profits. Coming to you from the Malden Group Studio, here's your host, Ms. Bonnie Rainmaker Malden.
Hey, 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 thanks for being with us today. Another amazing episode of From the Bottom to the Top. I am Bonnie Malden, founder and CEO of the Malden Group, your number one spot when you want to go from the bottom to the top, your neighborhood digital marketing agency. I have a business spotlight for you with another woman in business making a positive impact. Her name is Nicole Odom Harnett. Hi, Nicole. Thank you for being on the show.
Hi, Bonnie. How are you? Thank you for having me.
You bet. So let's jump things off talking about your background and what got you into what you're doing today.
Okay. Well, I am Dr. Nicole Odom Harnett, and I own Focus Point Solutions, doing business as Focus Point Behavioral Health, which is an addictions and mental health clinic. I have four of them in the state of Maryland and one in Tomball, Texas. And I love serving the community and helping people gain their recovery.
Wow. So when you were younger, is this something that you were interested in doing, or were you wanting to do something else and you were led to do this later?
You know, when I was much younger, I had no idea about mental health or addiction. You know, in the Black community, we definitely didn't talk about anything about mental health and definitely not addiction. But when I can say when I was much younger, I can remember going across the street and helping my great aunt with a couple that were across the street. And that's where I can remember starting to help people. And I've just had a passion all my life for helping people. And that's where I am today. I'm in a position where I can lead an organization of making change and helping people.
Wonderful. Thank you for committing your life to helping people and for being courageous enough to start a business around helping people as well. What are some of the main challenges that you're seeing in your business right now?
You know, of course, staffing is always a challenge, but, you know, we've been able to overcome that. And I think we've been blessed over these last couple of months. I've had a challenge where I've had some people leave, but with anyone leaving, there are people who always want to come into greatness. And I think that my company is definitely doing great things, and I run a great organization. So we've been on a hiring, I have to say, rampage over the last couple of weeks or a month, where I've had to hire, I would say, about 10 new people, 8 to 10 new people, and that's because of the growth that I've experienced. So that's in my industry, it's a good thing that we've had in growth, but it's also a bad thing because that means, you know, more people are suffering. We've gained more contracts with rehabilitation centers, with Department of Social Service, with the prison system. So it's been a phenomenal growth.
Okay, so tell us about what you do specifically and what type of people you help.
I help anyone from young adults, adolescents, adults that are suffering from addiction, whether it be addiction to opioids, whether they're quote-unquote popping pills, to alcohol, so any type of substance abuse. And I also help people who are suffering from mental health, so anything from anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, bipolar. I hire individuals that are definitely qualified and have the credentials to help all of those individuals. And I also do some things in between that. So I run a full service organization. So we also have what's called a PRP, which is Psychiatric Rehabilitation Program, which I assist in those people who may need a little assistance in life. Whether it be assistance filling applications, finding housing, getting back to school, getting the nudge to and from any type of program such as mine or any other program it, you cannot fill out an application because maybe you need to go back to school and get your GED because you did not complete high school. We help you along the way to find a GED program or to find a trade school or any of those type of things. We help with placement. We have a placement with housing, complete your social service benefits. We work with you with social service or to complete your benefits to get your any benefits that you may need. We can help with that. Also, I have supportive employment, where if you're employed, maybe you're underemployed, or you're looking to go back to school, maybe be a trade school such as truck driving, or to get a certification in child care, or any of those type of programs, or any type of other employment. And maybe your addiction or your mental health diagnosis is altering you or stopping you or preventing you from those things. So we'll make sure that we get you situated in the beginning with that diagnosis or that ailment, and so you can now go to school or get that job. So we work with you from beginning and to end to back to your stableness.
That's an incredible suite of services, Nicole. Seriously, that is going to help someone end-to-end with their situation. So what do you think is driving all of this mental health crisis? Is it COVID? Is it the economy? Is it our culture? Why are we in such a bad state mentally as a society?
COVID, I think, just really brought it to the forefront. It's been there all along, so it's really no surprise, but I'm glad that it's really being talked about now. And I think COVID made it so much easier for people to talk about it and for it to be okay for someone to say, oh, I'm going to see my therapist. Oh, I can't meet you for the movie date because I have an appointment with my therapist. So it's okay now for people to say that they're going to talk to someone, and a lot less people are actually suffering in silence. There still are a lot of people who are suffering in silence. That's why the suicide rate is so high. But if more people would say out loud that I'm going to talk to my counselor, my therapist, or I'm going to a group, like such as what I have as outpatient, to get some help, or they're speaking with someone, or they're speaking with their sponsor, we'd have conversations out loud around those topics, then more people would not suffer in silence, and they would, if they get that, they don't have to be isolated. People are not going to look at them funny. Mm-hmm. We need to bring this topic even more so to the forefront.
We certainly do. And what are some resources that you have available for people who are suffering? Like, how do people get in touch with you and, you know, start to get a little help?
You can call any of my centers. My website is www.focuspointch, that's FOCUSPOINT, C as in boy, H as in health, .com. So it's focuspointbh. That's my website. All of my locations are listed. I do have 5 locations, and I am franchising. So those of you who would like to fight against this battle of addiction and mental health, please don't hesitate to contact me. My email address is nicole@focuspointbh.com, and that's Nicole. I'm the old school Nicole. I'm over 40. So it's N-I-C-O-L-E without that E.
Nice.
And I'll be more than happy to talk to you.
Good deal. You do some coaching too, don't you?
I do. I work with blended families. For those of you who are struggling with blended families, I do work with people. And that the way you contact with me was talktonicole.com. And that is, the old school Nicole. It's just talk and the T-O. Nicole.com. So talktonicole.com. I have a blended family of 7
wow.
and 1 grandson. Yes. So I have 2 biological and you bested 5 bonuses, and it wasn't an easy road. And I didn't have anyone to talk to, so that's why I do the coaching for blended families.
All right. Well, I'm so thrilled that you spent some time with us today at From the Bottom to the Top. If you have time to stick around, Nicole, I would love for you to do that. We have another guest. I'm going to try to get her on. But we are going to put this all over the Internet for people to learn about your business, and we're going to have them come to you for the coaching for blended families and then also for the mental health franchise for those entrepreneurs out there looking to add to their suite of business portfolio, and then also for those who may be suffering from mental health issues as well. It looks like Akine, she dropped off, so I have a little bit more time. Can you tell us, Nicole, what are some of the issues with mental health, that, you know, some warning signs that you need to, you know, try to get some help?
Yeah, when people are just reserved, they're to themselves, they are always by themselves. There's a difference when, like, I'm an introvert. I usually do things by myself. But when I'm with someone, you know, I'm very talkative. I am, you know, outgoing. If people ask me questions, it's those people who stay isolated, at all times. They are always closed in. Those are the people that you need to be really concerned about. If they always, or if their hygiene is now taken of concern, they used to clean themselves up, they used to look nice, and now they're not taking care of themselves. Anything about a person who has changed, if they're usually one way and now you're seeing them, no makeup, hair not done, no grooming, those type of things, usually it's a sign of something going on and a reason for concern, a reason to ask questions. Hey, are you okay? Do you need to talk? And usually the person will say, you know, no, I'm good, I'm okay. And if that is your friend or your loved one, pay close attention. Pay very close attention, because there is something going on. If their appetite has changed, and, you know, a lot of people diet, but if they can't explain it to you what's going on, if they don't say that they're dieting or something, then usually it's a trigger that something is going on.
So what is the best way to approach someone that you know is suffering but is telling you everything's okay, we're doing good?
Let them know that there are resources. Try to get them to talk to you. And if you're not the type of person that can talk to them about what's going on and they won't open up to you, find someone that they will talk to. Get them out of whatever is going on. Get them to open up. Let them know that there's no need to suffer in silence. Depending on the age of the person, if it's a family member or whomever, call in a professional and see if that will work for them. See if they have different tactics to have them open up and find out what's going on with them. But by all means, don't let it go, because the person will isolate and they will definitely decide to do something. Usually it's going to end up bad, whatever it is.
Yeah, it really is. Hard to, you know, tell somebody, hey, I see you're suffering, here are some resources. But at the same time, if you sit back and do nothing, then that's an issue too.
Correct.
All right. So how does it work with insurance when you're dealing with mental health? Is that typically part of an insurance plan to, you know, get that covered, or is that something people are paying for out of pocket?
I would say the typical insurance will cover under their behavioral health portion of their insurance. That's something you can check to see if you have the behavioral health coverage. Nowadays, most of them have it. They will allow you so many visits depending on what it's for, whether it's inpatient, whether it is outpatient, or whatever the service may be. I don't know of too many insurances. Like my locations, we take just about every type of insurance. It just depends whether you're going to have a deductible, whether you have copay. Now, as far as my locations, we don't turn anyone away. We are a loan forgiveness site, and in order for us to be a loan forgiveness location, that was one of our agreements, that we cannot turn anyone away.
All right. When we say we don't turn anyone away, does that mean whether they have the money or not, you service them,
correct,
and then, you know, see what you can do afterwards?
Correct. So that means we will find the means. Some states, they provide certain grants or certain funding, so they have a pot of money that is set aside for behavioral health services. So depending on the facility that you attend, they should be able to tap into those funds to service those who have insurance, who are insured or maybe underinsured, to cover any out-of-pocket expenses. So let's say that the person has insurance, but maybe they have a high deductible or a copay, and they cannot afford it. So we can tap into those funds to assist that individual. Or if you have a facility who can afford it, maybe they won't charge the copay.
Okay. What are some tips that we can take away from this podcast today on ways that we can take care of ourselves mentally so we won't get out of control, spin out of control, turn to substance abuse when we're not feeling very well?
I mean, everybody should take some time for themselves, because the way I think, everyone has something going on, whether it is anxiety, whether it's depression. So everyone has something. It's just a matter of how severe your something is. So don't judge the next person. And I think if we didn't judge the next person, it would make it easier for individuals to come forward and seek the help that they need and not be ashamed of going to see someone and talk about the problems that they have. And when talking about the problems that they have, that decreases the amount of, you know, suicide, the suicide rates that we have, or those people, you know, going out and with these mass shootings and things like that. If people would stand up and say something when they see someone basically decompensating mentally.
Okay. And one last question. You mentioned franchising. Do you have to have a mental health background in order to get a franchise with you? Or do you provide training? Like, how does that piece work?
I provide all the training that you need. You do not have to have a mental health background or background in substance use. Where I came from, I had a background in healthcare, and I knew quite a bit about business. My undergrad is in business. My master's degree is in human service. Mm-hmm. So I knew a lot about healthcare. I have over 30 years experience in healthcare, and it wasn't in addiction. I just was surrounded by addiction. But business is my number one thing. I've always been surrounded by business also. So if you know anything about healthcare and you know quite a bit or something about business, you can own a franchise. But you also have to have a passion for helping people.
Big time. All right, Nicole. Well, I am absolutely thrilled you took the time to be on our podcast. I am just blown away that you. You're so welcome. You're taking your life force, your positivity, your light, your knowledge and wisdom, and you're imparting that onto us today and to all of your patients, and then also offering a business opportunity for others to do the same. So hats off to you. You're doing it.
Thank you so much.
All right. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, I have Akine Ajene Udu, and she is a phenomenal coach for women in business and executives. And she does these amazing retreats, and she just has this amazing social media following and posts that she does, just offering so much light and encouragement and positivity. So when we come back, we'll talk more with her. And Nicole, if you can hang around a little bit after the interview, we can have girl talk.
Okay, sure.
All right.
I really can't thank the Malden Group enough and your entire team for everything that you've done for us.
The biggest thing about working with the Malden Group is the number of things they took off of my plate. The marketing and website and everything, search engine optimization, not only did they take it off my plate, but they took it up several notches to a point that I would never have been able to do myself.
The Malden Group's been great as far as the website, as far as our marketing, advertising, paperclips, Facebook, all of it.
And as we move forward, we get a lot more response to our website. We have a lot more phone calls coming in.
We feel very thankful to have such a top gun team on our side.
I don't know where we would be today if it wasn't for the expertise that you, Bonnie, and your team at the Malden Group have been able to offer to our school.
Thank you so much, Bonnie. I definitely think of you as one of our trusted partners, and we really appreciate all the support that you continue to give to us. And we look forward to growing together with you guys.
Is your digital marketing feeling a bit too cookie cutter? Are you not gaining the qualified leads that produce the right customers you need? The Malden Group is Atlanta's premier marketing agency, delivering customized digital marketing programs for any budget. Don't trust something as crucial as your digital marketing to someone who lacks a unique approach. Call us now at 678-846-2306 or visit us at themaldengroup.com. Let us take your business to the top.
All right. I am back. Bonnie Malden, founder and CEO of the Malden Group. Thank you so much for listening to From the Bottom to the Top. I have phenomenal women on this podcast today. Oh, my goodness, Business Spotlight. And right now I'm going to open up the line to Akine. Let's see if she's here with us. Akine?
Hi, how are you, Bonnie? Lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you, too. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me on.
You bet. Your website says, you are worthy, you are enough, you can be powerful and feminine, you can be spiritual and desire luxury, you can be purposeful and have a life filled with pleasure as well. All you need is the right support.
Yes, indeed. All you need is the right support. Yes, I believe all of those things, live them out and help my clients come into that reality in full manifestation.
Yes, so tell me about your background.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, I wasn't in this space. I used to be a pharmacist, so I'll talk about my professional and then a bit more about my personal background in a bit. But yeah, for the first, 19 years of my working life, I was a pharmacist. I studied to be a pharmacist for quite some time and then went into the working world. Interestingly enough, when I first got into pharmacy school, I knew I didn't want to be a pharmacist. I was just kind of ticking the boxes that had been laid out for me. I am originally from Nigeria. I was born in the U.S., but I wasn't raised here. I was raised in Nigeria. And then I came back here for college, and my parents, my mom in particular, was very, you know, influential in my life and quite strong. And she had said to me, listen, you know, I wanted to study liberal arts, in particular creative writing. I wanted to write novels, maybe films. I didn't really have a full sense of what I wanted, but I knew it was going to be something creative. And she said, absolutely not. You can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, you can be an engineer, or you can be a pharmacist. Those are the options. Pick one. And I was very dutiful, right? You know, good Nigerian girl, did what my parents wanted me to do. And so I went ahead and I studied pharmacy. I picked the lesser of all the evils. I started out in engineering, actually, but after one semester where I realized hard hats and chemical process calculations were involved, and yeah, it was not going to work out for me. And so I left chemical engineering, went to pharmacy and studied, and you know, I enjoyed biology enough and all of that, and I did pretty well. Graduated, started working. I intended only to work for a year or two, and then I would go and pursue my dreams. A year or two turned into 18 years. And during that time, I ticked more boxes, got married, had a kid, bought a home. I was living, quote unquote, the life I thought I was supposed to live, right? I had a six-figure salary. I had all the things that they said I should do, but I was very unhappy. And even though on paper it looked good, in person, in my real body, in my heart, in my soul, I just knew that I wasn't living the life I was meant to live. There were so many gifts and things inside of me that were not fully expressed. There were desires in me. And it was hard to explain to people, right? And it's exactly where I meet so many women today, right? Many of my clients are exactly in that place. They have done the things. They're physicians, they're lawyers, they're business people. They are, you know, doctors, psychologists, ministers, whatever it is. They've done it. But they have a yearning for more. I call it the call to significance. Like, you have conventional success, but God is calling you to iconic significance, which is what he has given to each of us, because each of us was made uniquely. And so I had a unique call inside of me. You know, the scripture says, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And so those particular things, I had to come to know that part of myself that God already knew. I had to come to know that part of myself. And for me, the catalyst for some women, sometimes it's this deep yearning, and then you answer the call, but sometimes you don't answer the call when there's a deep yearning, right? And then kind of you the bottom falls out of your life to drive you into that place. So you can have a positive catalyst, which is that pull, and if you are courageous and you answer it then you can map out a plan, which is what I help my clients do. Or you might be like myself, where I kind of went into a wilderness season, like I went into a place of adversity. Things just weren't working. And it forced me to look at my life and ask myself, is this the life that you want to live? And to go through that experience of the dark night of the soul, which is what we call it in the personal development world, right? And really face your stuff, right? And face your God and face yourself and come to know yourself. And through that, if you have the courage to walk through that particular season, you will come to yourself, right? Often you are invited to walk with a guide. And I had many at the time. And which is when I started to become aware of coaching and personal development. And in those days, we often called it self-help, you know, and just to start to ask, what would I look like fully expressed? And started to lean into that. And that became leaving pharmacy without a clear plan, which is always a very sexy story, but I don't recommend it. I was married at the time, so I had the support of my spouse when I kind of jumped into the water without knowing, one, if I was going to swim or what kind of boat or anything. I just really just said, I can't do this anymore. But in 6 weeks, because I had to answer to that same spouse who was like, okay, all right. And I was also married to a Nigerian, and Nigerian culture were very get it done. Like, okay, so what are you doing? What's the plan? Where are you going? Like, there was that energy. And so this idea of, okay, I don't want to be a pharmacist anymore. Okay, fine. But what's the plan? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father, when he was here, he was, what's the plan? What are you doing? What's going on? And so in 6 weeks, I said, you know what? I'm going to put this conference together. I'd never put a conference together before. I just knew that I had gone through a process. Before I finally quit, I had taken 12 weeks off. I took a leave of absence. And in those 12 weeks, I really started to just take care of myself, which a lot of women did what I used to do, which is because I'd had a baby. I was working very long hours as a pharmacist, minimum 12-hour shifts, right? And I had just kind of lost all of me in service of being a wife, being an employee, and then becoming a mother. At the time of this, my daughter was still, under one or under two. And so I had lost myself emotionally, physically, mentally in some ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I needed that time. And then those 12 weeks, I just started to eat differently. I started to move my body. I live here in Atlanta, so I used to live close to a place called Stone Mountain. And I would just walk around the mountain, and I'd wear these big sunglasses, because as I'd walk around, I would cry. I would cry. I would mourn for the life I thought I would have and the girl that I used to be. And then I would pray, and I would sing. And so I really found myself through a process. But I was journaling that whole process. So through that whole 12 weeks, journaling all the different things I was doing, by the end of 12 weeks, so much had changed in me. I looked different. I'd lost a lot of weight. I had, I was vibrant again, because through those years of letting yourself go, I had lost my radiance. I had lost, my joie de vivre, as the French would call it. And I just lost all of that. And the things that made me, right? And I started to recapture it, because I had space, which is why retreats are such a big part of our business now. Just even giving yourself the space. So I had the space. And so when I came to and I decided I was quitting, I had that 12 weeks of journaling and insight that I had gained. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to create a conference, a day. I didn't call it a conference. It was going to be a day. I want to do a day event, because I know that women need to be refreshed, because people had started to say to me, what are you doing? You look so different. You look refreshed. And so I said, I'm going to create an event, and it's going to be called Refresh Yourself. And I'm going to put it together, and I announced that it was going to happen in 6 weeks. I have now in our business, now that we've been in business for about 10 years, I've done over 50 live in-person events and over 75 virtual events. And I would never attempt to put anything together in 6 weeks. Right, because, it's just unrealistic. But I didn't know, right? And I just kind of jumped into it. And I announced it. And, I could tell that whole story is separate, right? Because God showed up, because if not, it would have been a dismal failure. But I think God said, this girl right here, we just have to give her something so that she has the courage to continue going, because it sold out. And it didn't sell out before. It sold out on the day of the event. Like, initially when we first opened doors, there was only one person there. And, an hour later, there were, two people. So I thought it was going to be a failure. I went to the bathroom and just prayed. And I decided I was just going to go ahead. And an hour, 2 hours later, the whole place was full. By, noon, we started at 9 and we ran till 4. By noon, we were turning people away because we literally had no more space. And the woman had this incredible time, right? And I did that before I registered a business or even knew that I was going to do a business. I just knew that this was a need that I had identified, right, in the community. And it really was. It spoke to the woman so deeply. And after that, then I started to ask, okay, what next? And then I decided to become a coach and went to Georgetown, studied, and got other certifications in social and emotional intelligence and really kind of launched my business. But that is really our origin story, my place of pain and reclaiming myself and then helping others now do the same. And so that became our guiding, you know, our North Star, our purpose statement, and then everything else was built around that.
That's an incredible story. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for dedicating your life to this work. What's the best way to get engaged with your services? I know you do coaching, you do speaking, you have these amazing mastermind events. You're going to Dubai. You have a lot going on.
We do have a lot going on, but it's really just under three umbrellas, right? So I do private coaching, but I only take about five clients in any given period, 6 month period, right? And then I have our mastermind. And so if you want to, iconicwomanhood.com is our website, but if you go to our, if you want to learn about the mastermind, you would go to iconicwomanhood.com/mastermind. The mastermind is a 12 month experience. And really what I find is the reason why we designed the mastermind is that we realized that in order for women to come into a place of full expression, most women think it's about performance, doing more and gaining more skills in performance. But what I've discovered over the years, that it really has to do with the inner work, the mindset, the healing. And I don't mean healing in terms of therapy, because that's not what we do, but healing some of our notions around our worth, around what is available to us. And I work primarily with women of color across the diaspora. And so many of us have gotten messaging that creates some limitations for us. For example, we've been told all our lives, you have to work twice as hard to get half as much, which then creates this false paradigm, right, of hustling and overexerting ourselves and not valuing ourselves or not even asking for what we deserve fully, right, because we've been told to expect half as much, whether we realize it or not. That's the other side of that particular statement, right? And so we have to kind of go and into this place, this inner place, and unpack, unlearn, deconstruct, and then reconstruct, which is why on my website I have those things where I'm saying, listen, you can be spiritual, you can be a woman of faith, of which I am, and still desire luxury, abundance, luxury. None of those things are outside of you being a person of faith. Just look at the way the Solomon built the temple. You can be a sensual feminine woman and still be a boss, powerful woman, right, which is different from some of the messaging we're getting today, that being a soft life means, you know, that you're being, you know, taken care of and you have no autonomy or no agency. I don't believe that. I think you get to be both. And so you get to design. You get to really honor the truth of how God made you. And this is why we created this 12-month deep dive, because if you think about it, we can't unpack who you are in 6 weeks. I've done 6 week programs and they're fine, but what I wanted was a deep, lasting, abiding shift that even births deeper shifts. Because I work with women who are leaders. I don't, you know, we're not a beginning program. This is the program that really leaders come to and birth deeper levels of leadership. So a lot of women come in and we've birthed a number of coaches. We have a TED fellow in our alumni group. We have many, many people who have gone on to get many awards and professorships and whatnot as a result of the work they've done, best-selling authors, TV show, and so on and so forth. And they go on and they do other things, right? And so they come through the program and they're deeply, deeply grounded in their truth, so that no matter what, even if I never meet them again, which I do meet most of them again, but even if I never meet them again, I get letters 3 years later saying, the work I did is still speaking today. I literally just got something from one of my clients. And so the 12-month mastermind is really that opportunity to really ask those deep questions in community with other women who are willing to go deep with you, so you're not alone. And then we have our retreats. So we're doing Ghana in October, which is going to be extraordinary, 10 days, life-changing. To learn about that, you would just go to Voyage Iconic, V-O-Y-A-G-E Iconic, or Voyage Iconic, I guess. I'm a bit of a Francophile, right? Yeah, you know, and so you can do that, or you can, again, just go to my website and you'll get more information. We're going to be in Dubai in March, and those are opportunities for people who want to experience sort of a short, quick, experiential burst of transformation.
All right. Well, I am absolutely thrilled that you spent some time with us on and talked about your business and this transformational work that you're doing with women. It's incredible. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and when we come back, I'd like to ask you both some questions, Nicole, both you and Akene. I want to talk about the difference between coaching and counseling and therapy, and then also talk about, you know, some self-care things that and some paradigm shifts us as women should have in order to live our best life. We'll be right back.
Getting ahead in business means that learning never stops. The Sales and Marketing Academy is an exciting new online learning community designed to equip business professionals with valuable skills in sales, business, and marketing. Our training offers proprietary lesson plans taught by true successful entrepreneurs, influencers, and business leaders. Contact us now at 678-967-0551 or visit us at tsamacademy.com.
All right, we are back. I have two phenomenal women, Nicole and Akene. Both are making a positive impact in the lives of others, and they have phenomenal advice and a great story to share with us today. I typically have two guests on, and then we have some open conversation towards the end. So the question that I'd like to start with is, Nicole, what is the difference between therapy, counseling, and coaching?
Well, therapy is when you're with a licensed individual, someone who has gone to school, they have taken a test, and they've got gotten their state credentials, and they're licensed to either prescribe or give you counseling and or therapy. Coaching is someone who maybe has a certificate or a certification in that particular field, or they specialize in it, or they have life experience in that particular field, so therefore they're giving you their advice, which usually is not followed by any type of, okay, it can be studies or things of that nature that they're giving you the information on, so they're not licensed.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the differences between coaching and actual therapy.
Yeah, thanks for breaking that down, because people can get a lot of that misconstrued.
Exactly.
What are your thoughts about...
May I add to that question about coaching?
Yes.
I think it's... Yeah, so I love the breakdown. Thank you for that. Yeah, so therapy definitely is with a licensed individual. And coaching, yes, at the moment is unlicensed, right? But I do think that depending on the coach you choose, and you should be careful about the coach you choose, I wouldn't say that it isn't backed by any science whatsoever. Because most, depending on the coach, right? So for me in my program at Georgetown, it's not advice that we offer that is just from life experience. There is science to back it, and I'm trained in organizational psychology. So depending on the coach that you choose, which you would want to check and see what the backing is, and I think that's really an important thing to note. And coaching, I think in general, looks forward and says, what is it you're trying to accomplish, and how can we set parameters in place to help you get where you want to go, and ask the deep, powerful questions to help uncover what mindset blocks you might have. While therapy may be asking, well, what are some of the mental wellness issues that you might encounter and other things, right? And in my practice, we actually work alongside with therapists very often, and I refer a lot to therapists and vice versa. They might say, oh, I think a coach might help you move forward. And then I'm seeing more and more coaches or therapists who then go and get a coaching certificate or get training because they want to add that modality and skill to their practice. So I just, you know, I think it's important to distinguish all the different ones, but also to note that in the coaching world, yes, in this particular time, there aren't you know, there's so many different bodies, certifying bodies, but there is, if you do your due diligence, you can get an excellent coach that can really help you understand where you're moving to.
Thank you for that feedback.
I agree. What
are some things that we can do as women or as business professionals to take better care of ourselves and our mental wellness and spiritual wellness?
I think one of the most key things any woman can do is to give herself the space, sacred space. And that space in your calendar, space in your life, physical space, space to ask the key questions, to think, to dream, to heal, space to grieve even. I think so many of us, especially now with COVID, we just went through COVID, we're still going through COVID, we have extraordinary grief that we probably haven't even begun to look at. So I think space is one. And the second is permission to ask for help, to get the right support. Whatever support it is you need, it's not a mark of weakness to be vulnerable enough to say, I need help. So whether it is you're getting a therapist, right, which I have, you know, my daughter has therapies. We believe in that because you get the help you need, and then, or whatever it is you need, going to the doctor, going to your spiritual support, get support. So space and support, I think those are key things that if you put in place, you can really make sure that you're running and living your best possible life.
Nicole, you have 7 children. How do you balance your time with all of the children to make them all feel equally loved?
You know, the good thing, all of them are uniquely different. And the good thing is that the youngest is 21. So they have their own lives. They're doing their own thing. But I balance because it's easy to get on the phone with them to tell them, I love you. And they're all tech savvy. So they like to text and things. So it does, they don't require a whole lot of my time unless there's something going on. And I can tell with each one of their personalities when something is going on, so when whichever one of them needs me the most. And so usually it's not all of them at the same time. So one weekend, maybe one of them, you know, next month, it may be someone else that's going through something. So it's not like I have, you know, 3 or 4-year-olds at home. It's a major difference in my life.
So what's the key to having a successful blended family?
Ooh, getting to know, making sure that you are aware that everyone is different. Dating your bonus children, getting to know them just as well as you do your biological kids. And making sure you have family events, family things going on, and don't treat anyone any different than you do the others. It truly is a family thing. We do a lot of things together. We do a lot. We have a lot of conversations together. We talk about the future. We have family businesses, so my focus point is not the only business that I own. So we have other business, and we have brought the family into it. So we do a lot as a family. Holidays are very big for us, so we all stay in contact with each other. So we just make sure that everything is family first.
Wonderful. And Akine, how do your children feel about your Iconic Woman business? How's that impacted them?
Well, I think it's been extremely positive for them. I have 2 girls. One is 27, and my youngest is going off to college. She's 17. And they, right from when they were very young, they've always helped. At the very beginning, they were often our staff. And so they have seen us grow. So I think the one thing that I'm really excited about is that they've seen something go from ideation to manifestation and seen sustainability because we've been around for a while. But then also I think that I'm a girl mom, right? I think it's really powerful for them to see me go through the wins but also I've been open with them about my lows. I've been open with them about when I've made mistakes, so that they understand that you get to be a work in progress and a masterpiece at the same time. And I think they continue to see that with the women that we serve. And so they're very much involved. Now, not less so. They're so busy, right? My daughter, my oldest one, has her own job and her own deliverables and her own KPIs. So she doesn't have much time to engage with us the way we'd love to. But, and my younger one is off to college. But as much as they can, I try to involve them, because I think, one, them seeing concretely what I do, empowers them to be able to see themselves ideating something and then bringing it into full manifestation as well.
Mm-hmm. And both of you are really strong role models for your kids and for, whether you know or not, other people who see you from the outside looking in, as you run your family and run your business. And, you know, maintain your friendships and relationships with other family members, like your parents or your siblings and cousins and school friends from school and friends from work. And it's just so many relationships to try to maintain with our time. Mm-hmm. And you ladies seem to have found some type of balance with that. So I applaud you. And I can't thank you enough for being on the show. So the Malden Group is a marketing company, so I'll always ask people, what do you do to market your business? Because you guys have displayed some excellence in that area of growing, being in a wave of growth in your business. So what are you doing to facilitate that growth, and what do you do to market your business in a few minutes?
Sure. Nicole. Who do you want to go first?
Okay, Nicole. Oh. Whichever one.
No, I'd love to hear, Nicole. Go ahead.
Well, I had to reach out to a company. I'm working with a PR company called Walls Pop for my PR, because I am not the social media maven. I'm just beginning to learn about and get on social media. And the reason for me not being on social media, I just think people are keyboard gangsters, and they hide behind the keyboard, and they like to talk about people and say malicious things about individuals that they don't even know, whether it's what things that they have heard them say, and they make it a piece of it, or maybe something they're wearing. Instead of lifting people up, they just want to take it out on social media. So I have always been anti Instagram and things of that nature. But now that I am really an advocate, and really always have been, for mental health and addiction, it's really important for me to be, you know, pushed out there more for the things that I do. So I've reached out to a company.
So PR is your strategy. And Kinney, what is it that you're doing to facilitate growth and bring in new business to your company?
So I love that we have diversity on this panel, so to speak, right? Because I, on the other hand, I am a social media. My business grew primarily through social media, still does. We recently contracted with an ads. You know, we're running ads and whatnot, but for a decade, we have never run ads, and we have grown steadily, significantly through content marketing. Primarily is what we do on social media, and, you know, I tell stories, I talk about, I'm just present, and we have a podcast, so we create also platforms, right? So we have podcasts, we have YouTube presence. We have presence on Instagram, TikTok primarily. Instagram has been, and LinkedIn as well. And we have gotten major, you know, most of the major things we've gotten have come through there. And I have had such a positive experience on social media. It's been extraordinary. We have had, right now we're doing our Ghana event. And what is interesting, I'm from Nigeria. I've been to Ghana multiple times. I have clients in Ghana who I got from social media, but also partners that have reached out to me and connected with me, and now we've done business together through just being present and authentic on social media. So I think I have heard that there are very negative experiences. I personally haven't had any. But I'm quick with the block button, so there you go. So that could be
I found out about you, Akine, through social media. I think LinkedIn, and I saw some posts that you were put out. Maybe someone else that I was following liked one of your posts, and that's how it showed up on my feed. And then I started following your posts, and it was just so uplifting, so encouraging, so powerful and empowering that I reached out to you today to be on my podcast because I knew that you had some wonderful information to share and uplifting information to give, and that you did today. And I thank you for having such a powerful online presence. And Nicole, I thank you for, you know, reaching out from your PR firm to be on the show. I think PR and social media are both powerful ways to market a business. You know, you just got to find what's right for you and what you're comfortable with, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys are welcome.
Thank
I'm going to close off the show now.
Thank
Everybody
you.
Listening, please reach out to these two wonderful ladies. They are great at what they do. They're very passionate, as you can see. And they're very smart and very, very kind and have a loving, giving heart. So these are the type of people I like to associate myself with, people who, you know, got it going on and, you know, forward-thinking and ambitious and, you know, business-minded. Just, oh, I just love these women. They're so on their game, so proud. All right, so another episode of From the Bottom to the Top. Thank you so much for your time. We're going to close out now. Get in touch with us.
From the bottom to the top, from the bottom to the top, because you know the sky's the limit to what you can achieve. Go for all your dreams from the bottom to the top. Oh yeah, let us help you to reach the success that you need. We'll take you straight to the top, the Malden Group.
From the bottom to the top, from the bottom to the top.